faithful stewardship. The word faithful is an interesting word. When did you last use it? To whom did you apply it? When you say the word faithful, do you put it before a president? Do you ever say a faithful president? Or a bank manager? Or a general? Or an admiral? Or do you think of a faithful janitor? The word faithful is often applied to menial tasks and persons who perform them. It means the meticulous carrying out of details, the humdrum, the less spectacular faithfulness, little things. Stewardship is the use of entrusted property to carry out certain ends. There may be a steward of a business, steward of a household, steward of a farm. We don't use the word too many times. It's applied to certain men on shipboard. But a steward is one into whose hands the owner has entrusted his goods, believing that the best will be done for the advantage of the owner of the goods. Faithful stewardship is the thought of our lesson this week. Part number one, the grace of giving. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, Paul said to the Corinthians, in faith, in witnessing or utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. The grace, of course, was making an offering to the poor in Jerusalem and in other parts. Grace. Grace came by Jesus Christ. Grace came after the fall. When man lacked and sinned and rebelled, then he sees in Jesus Christ the fullness of grace. John 1:14, when Christ became flesh, we saw him full of grace and truth. Truth is the theory. Grace is the power to practice the theory. We need grace in giving. We need gracious giving. We can give resentfully. We can give indifferently. We can give patronizingly. Jesus gave graciously. Graciously. The matter of giving, according to the scriptures, is not left to impulse. We sometimes are impulsive givers. The offering is announced, we take out our purse, we look for the smallest coin or the smallest bill, we're flustered, and sometimes the offering plate goes on and we haven't got our offering out. This should not be. Our obligations in giving to the cause of God, to the Church of God, of tithes and offerings, should be done regularly and systematically. In fact, we should make a habit of our giving. We should sit down and think through what we have, what we are obliged to give, what we ought to give, what we can give, so that all the planning is done before we leave our homes on our way to church. This kind of systematic benevolence is what is pleasing to God, because order is heaven's first law. Part number two, collections or offerings. I think this question title is an excellent one. Some years ago, I heard an interesting anecdote about a little boy who was sitting at the dinner table, picking over his dinner. At his feet curled his pet dog. It happened to be his dog's birthday. And so the little boy laid aside the pet morsel, the best morsel, of his food. His mother saw what he was doing, but didn't realize his motivation. And he says, "I want to give this to my dog," when she told him to eat it up. To which she replied, "Don't be silly. We've got other things in the kitchen for the dog." and standing over him, she made him eat this choice morsel. And after the meal was over, she helped him gather together little bits and pieces that were left into his doggy plate. About half an hour later, she overheard the little boy, with his arm round his dog, saying to him, "I wanted to give you an offering, but all Mother took up was a collection." And I think that's what we sometimes do. Instead of giving the choice gifts to the Master, we just make a collection of whatever we may have over and give no real love gift. Paul called the Corinthian church's attention to the fact of an ancient story connected with the manna. Each person had a daily ration. For the old and the rheumatic, it was difficult to get down and gather the manna. And Paul says some gathered more and some gathered less. But when it was measured, the total collection of manna was measured by the scales of the sanctuary, it was found that every man had an adequate amount for his daily ration. Some gathered more, some gathered less. And Paul applies this to giving. Some are able to give more, some are able to give less. It's the motive, it's what a man has, and God is pleased for us thus to give. And in his sight, the whole church will then be making its adequate contribution. Part number 3, Paul's apostolic rule for giving. On the first day of the week, he said, "Let every one of you lay by him in store, as God prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." This is a wonderful verse. At the first of the week, let us look over all our expenses and lay by us in our own home what we should give, the tithe first and then the offerings. So that when I come, Paul says, when the collection is taken up, then there won't be any scurrying around, any questioning, any debating. Decide at home as a family, and not by impulse. Do it early, long before the collection is taken up, so that on the Sabbath day, when the collections are taken up, you know exactly what to give. Part number 4, planned giving. Arrange in advance for this gift you have promised, Paul told the Corinthians. Arrange in advance. Paul planned himself in advance, and he advises the church in Corinth to do so. Now you will notice the general conference follows this requirement. Sometimes at a great gathering, perhaps on a union level, or even at the general conference level, they want to take a $1 million offering, $2 million offering. All the churches plan months in advance for this offering, so that on the day of collecting, everything is done. Our faith and dedication should cause us to make this planning well in advance and not by impulse. Notice the suggestions. We should not wait till the Sabbath to set aside the tithe. This should be done before. We should not decide on the Sabbath the offering we're going to give. This too should be done at home. If we are going to be unwise stewards, we should not borrow from our tithes and offerings. We should give our offerings to God and not think that we are giving money for expenses here in the church. A good suggestion is, after we have given 10% or the first tithe to God, we should set aside another tithe. I would suggest that you try this. We have tried this. Works beautifully. Set aside the other tithe and then distribute from that second tithe what you feel impressed to. Some for Sabbath school, some for church expenses, some for the various offerings that come, Voice of Prophecy, Faith for Today, It Is Written, Liberty, Indian Work, Relief of every kind. You may keep a little store for the Red Cross, for the Heart Fund. Divide the second tithe up just as you want to. When you give the tithe, this is no generosity. This is required of God. It's what you do with your second tithe that shows your generosity. Part number 5, accumulated possessions. When we start multiplying our money and our bank account grows larger and larger and larger, often our gifts to the cause of God grow less and less and less. We have been used for years and years and years to be giving a dollar or two, to give a real substantial offering. We need to train ourselves. You remember what happened to the rich fool? He said, I have got much money, much goods. I'm going to build bigger barns, make larger investments. And so instead of giving to God, he tried to plan for his own future. He had no difficulty living in previous days before he made so much money. Now that he had a great amount of money, he sort of felt that he ought to plan for a rainy day. If God had kept him in his poverty, God was not going to let him down in his prosperity. Therefore, we should work diligently, and when God prospers us, increase our offerings to him proportionately. Part number 6, blessings in giving. It's more blessed to give, Jesus said, than to receive. And Paul adds, he which sows sparingly will reap sparingly. If you are putting seeds in your lawn, and you say, well, now I need one seed every square half inch, and plot it out, you will find many bald spots on your lawn. But if you sow the lawn lavishly, you will grow a beautiful lawn. It's so in spiritual giving. He that gives bountifully will receive multiplied gifts. God is not niggardly. God is generous. His gifts are limitless. He gives to everyone, the good and the bad, the poor and the rich, the enemy and the friendly. He gives to all, liberally. And he sets us a wonderful example. If we are to be faithful stewards, we must be generous stewards with the gifts of God.